If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Dini al-Islam, dini wal-Azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. We are going to talk about the family-related issues according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. So,
back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome. We are going to focus on some of the issues related to familiar problems or questions. And one of such questions is that I want to ask first at the beginning of this episode is that, you know, we know that when people become mature and young, they are under a lot of stress, sexually speaking, so they have different kinds of emotions, and especially with the advent of new technology, social media, satellite, and the like, and the kind of ties in the society which are very much, let's say, more provocative or provoking the young people toward, let's say, committing sins sometimes. When they see, for example, let's say women, not like before, a question may, arise, and that is, some people ask that if they are allowed to whether masturbate in order to avoid, for example, fornication or zina. Is this justification reasonable and legally, jurisprudentially binding in order to avoid, for example, adultery or fornication, allow masturbation?
A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, I suppose our audience and those who listen to us are quite well aware of the fact that masturbation is absolutely forbidden, no matter what the justification. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't make any difference whether a person is married or unmarried. Masturbation is absolutely prohibited, and it is prohibited under all circumstances. And people may want to bring up excuses, or maybe may justify their mm-hmm. actions. Mm-hmm. You know, masturbation remains forbidden, and no matter what the justification, you know, if someone wants to justify his action by saying, okay, I was, going to fall into a great sin like fornication or adultery or something like that, and so I did masturbate to avoid a greater sin. So this is not a proper justification. You cannot avert an evil by doing another evil, by doing a lesser mm-hmm. evil. Mm-hmm. So it is necessary for every individual, in fact, to
stay away from haram.
To stay away from haram. And also there may be many people ask mm-hmm. questions, they keep asking questions as to what they should do when mm-hmm. it comes to, because of, as you rightly mentioned, there are, there is emotional stress, there are people with a strong sexual urge, and they don't know how to relieve mm-hmm. themselves, for example, or how to concentrate themselves on how to concentrate on their activities. For example, a student wants to study, mm-hmm. okay, someone wants to do his job, mm-hmm. and they do not remain focused because of the strong sexual urge,
Yes.
And that's why they are distracted. The religious authorities, generally speaking, they always say that it is necessary for a person to do regular exercise, because it does help to a large extent someone's, body, to stay balanced, or the sexual urge or desire to come to be under control. And if that does not help, then mm-hmm. it's necessary for a person to observe fast, because someone who is fasting will not think of let's say masturbating, because he knows that masturbation is one of the invalidating agents. And course, the best of all solutions
is marriage.
Yes. If a person can afford to marry, to get married. Of course, he should take quick action to get married before he actually falls into the sin.
That's great.
So he should go and take action for marriage.
Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javed. Let's take a short break and we'll be back. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. We are talking about family-related issues according to Ayatollah Khamenei's verdicts with Sheikh Javed. Sheikh Javed, is it permissible for a married man to ask his spouse to help him ejaculate? Because we talked about masturbation and self-satisfaction in the previous part before the break. So if somebody's married, not single,
yeah,
asking his wife actually to do the job for him, let's say, and perhaps in such a scenario, the wife may not be in the mood, for example, to do so, or in the mood for sexual intercourse, and then the husband, on the other hand, wants to relieve himself.
Yeah.
So, you know, if the wife doesn't want to do it, but does it out of her, for example, marital duty, for example,
yeah,
so to speak, all right? Is it permissible in that case?
Well, that's also an interesting question, because just as you rightly mentioned, there may be, for example, someone, a woman, let's say, who is not in the mood to have physical intimacy, and so she maybe also there are reasons for that. The weather might be very cold. If she, let's say, has sexual intercourse with her husband, then she has to, let's say, perform the ritual ablution or ghusl. And that may not be possible for him, or maybe performing ghusl every now and then may be very difficult or cause her difficulty. So in that case, of course, it is permissible for her to help her husband, reach orgasm or experience orgasm, or to help him ejaculate.
Yes.
And there is no objection to a woman doing it. Of course, we have different forms of, let's say, sexual conduct. Like, for example, they call it oral stimulation or oral sex, or let's say the different names are there, and these are possible, and these are permissible as well,
yes,
as long as both the parties to the marriage are consenting to it, because it's not a duty of the wife to perform, you know, oral stimulation. But if she does consent to it, there's no objection according to Islam, according to Supreme Leader Grand Ayatollah.
If she's not in the mood,
if she's not in the mood, of course she can do it. You know, she can always help. But it's not, you know, she must in fact submit herself to her husband for sexual pleasure. That's her duty according to the Sharia law. And if she does not surrender herself to her husband for this purpose, she is considered to be rebellious, okay, or disobedient, in which case she will not be entitled to maintenance.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javed, for your answering the questions. According to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas about family-related issues here in this program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الظاهر والباطن.